I believe that envy can take you to some really, really dark places if you're not careful with it. And to be honest with you, we struggle much more with envy than what we like to say we do.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome, friends. This is Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Hollick, and I'm here with Pastor Mark Jobe, the senior pastor of New Life Community Church. Pastor Mark, it's just such a joy to be able to win people to Christ and raise disciples and plant churches. And as we look back over almost 30 years of ministry, we've seen God do some really exciting, incredible things. I love being a pastor on this team. I love the way you lead us with vision and grace and empower leaders and open doors. It's been, for my wife and I, one of the highlights, seriously, highlights of our life to be on this team, to be serving God together. And there's others that wonder if there's room on the team for them, if this is the kind of place that's open to other leaders coming in. Tell us about the vision and tell us about the open doors.
Absolutely, Josh. And it's been great to know you since you were 16 years old or younger. So, yeah, we have a vision to see the city of Chicago saturated with life-giving communities of faith. As we cooperate with other churches, because there are a lot of great churches in Chicago that we're joining forces with. But we do that two ways. One, we plant new churches, and we've done quite a few of planting of new churches, about 12 or 13 new locations that we've planted around Chicago. But we also do restarting of historic churches that are struggling. And God has given us a beautiful opportunity to restart about 12 churches. And these are churches anywhere from Baptist to EV Free to Mennonite to Bible churches that at one time were thriving places, houses of worship, but because of changing demographics or transition in leadership, find themselves really struggling to survive in today's environment. And we have a unique approach in which we actually join those churches. We celebrate their history. We adopt their history. We celebrate their past. And we look at ourselves as being a new chapter to an old history. So we don't close them down. We just restart them. And that's why we use the word restart them, to reach this generation. And so if you are interested in, and maybe you're a part of a church that needs a restart, or maybe you're a young leader out there that feel like, hey, you have a call to church planting, we would love to hear from you, because we are launching and starting at least 5 to 6 new congregations every year. And if you want to be a part of it or have a call to church planting, or you're part of a church that needs to be restarted, please get a hold of us. And you can go to our website at newlifechicago.org and check out the ministries page, because we have more information about restarts and church planting on those pages.
That's right. We would love to meet you. We need to partner together to see the greatest impact. And so as you go to newlifechicago.org, click on ministries. As Pastor Mark said, scroll down. If you'd like information on being a church planter, click on that button, New Life Cities. If you'd like information on restart, click on that. And there you'll see a few other opportunities as well. But those are the two we want to highlight today. We would love to meet you.
Thanks, Josh. Hi, everyone. Today, Pastor Mark continues on in his series called Emotional Intelligence. Let's get right into the message today. We continue in the book of James, chapter 1, verses 19 through 21, and his message is called Erasing Envy. Here's Pastor Mark.
Emotions, they're not good or bad. They're neutral, because we are made in the image of God, and most emotions are just neutral when they begin with, but it's what we do with our emotions that can become destructive or constructive. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about the emotion of envy. Webster's dictionary defines envy as the painful or resentful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another, joined with a desire to possess the same advantage. Synonyms of envy are words like covetousness, enviousness, green-eyed monster, jealousy, or resentment. The Greek philosopher Socrates
said this of envy. He said, envy is the daughter of pride, the author of murder and revenge, the begetter of secret sedition, the perpetual tormentor of virtue. Envy is the filthy slime of the soul, a venom, a poison, a quicksilver which consumeth the flesh and drieth up the bone. I believe that envy can take you to some really, really dark places if you're not careful with it. And to be honest with you, we struggle much more with envy than what we like to say we do. If I were to do a survey today and ask you 1 to 10, tell me how much envy you struggle with, most of you would rate yourself pretty good on envy, because oftentimes envy is sort of issue of our souls that we don't like to talk about, that we're not really honest with ourselves about. We cover it up with a lot of other lingo, but in reality, envy is at the dark, murky puddles of most people's soul. Now, there's a difference between jealousy and envy. Oftentimes, we use these words interchangeably, but they are distinct. Envy is when we desire something that someone else possesses and we want to have, and we become resentful that they have it. Jealousy, on the other hand, has to do with that which we already possess, but want to make sure we don't share it with others. Now, the emotion of jealousy is actually good to have at times. The Bible says that God is jealous over us. In other words, if we've given our heart to Him, we belong to Him. God doesn't want to share us with anybody else. And so there's a godly kind of jealousy that exists there. Now, envy in itself is always, typically always a negative, dark place to go. But it doesn't always start that way. The positive emotion, before it turns into envy, is ambition, good, healthy ambition. Do you realize that sometimes, and I know that oftentimes we look at ambition as though it were bad, and selfish ambition is bad. But there is such a thing as godly ambition. The Bible says if you desire to be a leader, a godly leader, if you have ambition to be a godly leader, it's a good thing. If you have ambition or desire to find a godly wife, it's a good thing. If you have a desire to make a better life, a desire to excel at what you do, a desire to improve your family's condition, a desire to succeed at the things that God has placed in front of you, a desire to be better at what you do, a desire to create a better life for you and for your family, that is a good ambition. A desire to educate yourself and to learn more, that is a good ambition. There is nothing wrong with that. It's been placed in you by God. So the desire to, and where do we get that from? We get it by seeing something that we like in someone else, or something that someone else has and says, that's good. I like it. I want to be like that. It's not a bad thing to admire something in someone else's life. You see, for example, you may see a couple that's been married a long time and has a good marriage. And you say, you know what? I admire that. I like that. I hope that when I'm married 40 years, I can sit that close to my husband or my wife as well. I want to be like that as well. That is a good thing. The Apostle Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Jesus Christ. In other words, whatever you see in me, seek to do that. A young man, a young boy looks up to the good qualities of his father and wants to be like his dad. That's a good thing. To admire something in someone else and to want to have what that other person possesses is a good quality. It's not a bad thing. When does it turn to envy? There's a fine line between admiration, praise, saying that's good and I want to have it, and the dark, slippery slope of envy. Envy says, I want to have that. I want it to be mine. And I resent the person that has it because I don't. Now that's envy. When you see someone that has something and you're unhappy that they have it because you would like to have it, that's envy. So what starts out as admiration and praise, if we're not careful, can turn into envy. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Kings chapter 21 as we look at a story of someone being consumed by envy. And I want to point out this morning, I want to give you the five stages of envy, and I'm going to close up our time together with teaching you really how to avoid being consumed or tarnished by envy, how to become envy resistant. How to become envy resistant. But first of all, I want to look at the five stages of envy as we look at 1 Kings chapter 21, the story of a man by the name of Ahab, who was a king, and the owner of a vineyard whose name was Naboth. Naboth owned a vineyard. Ahab was a king. I'm going to begin reading in verses 1 of chapter 21. It says, sometime later, there was an incident involving a vineyard belonging to Naboth, the Jezreelite. The vineyard was in Jezreel, close to the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. Ahab said to Naboth, who owned the vineyard, let me have your vineyard to use for a vegetable garden, since it is close to my palace. In exchange, I will give you a better vineyard, or if you prefer, I will pay you whatever it is worth. But Naboth replied to Ahab, the Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my fathers. So the first stage of envy, write this down if you're taking notes. The first stage is pretty harmless. We admire and desire something that someone else possesses. We admire and desire something that someone else possesses. There's no harm in that. There's nothing bad with admiring and desiring what someone else has.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Erasing Envy, which is from our current series called Emotional Intelligence. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of James, chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. Our message, Erasing Envy.
That can lead to ambition. I want to be like that person. I want to be an athlete. Young boys look up to athletes. I want to be as fast as that person is. Or I want to be successful like that business person is. Or I want to have the character qualities that that person has. I want to have the confidence that that individual possesses. There's nothing wrong with that. So it starts out very, very benign, very subtle, and not bad. It's neutral. You see that Ahab looked at a vineyard that was close to his palace. He was the king. He saw a vineyard and he said, wow, I like that vineyard. Man, is that a nice vineyard. Plus, it's right by my palace. Whoa, I could see myself walking around that vineyard. He takes very good care of that vineyard. It is one of the nicest vineyards I've ever seen. I really like to have it. I'm going to approach the owner and see if I could buy it because it's nice. Nothing wrong with that. When he approaches the owner, Naboth says to him, hey, this vineyard belonged to my fathers and their great-grandfathers and their forefathers. It's the Lord's inheritance. And so therefore, I am not allowed to sell it because it's the land that God gave to my forefathers and great forefathers. And so this is a tradition. This is a heirloom. This is a inheritance that I need to possess. And by the way, there's some places in Scripture like Leviticus chapter 25 or Deuteronomy chapter 25 where there were some laws that prohibited land that had been given to your forefathers from being sold. Now notice what happens to Ahab once he gets a response from Naboth. I want you to see what begins to happen inside of him. It starts out innocent enough, but as soon as Naboth says no to him, and he can't have what he wants, and he really desires it, it turns dark and ugly. You were satisfied with your two-bedroom house. You thought it was nice, decorated. You loved it. Until your best friend bought a four-bedroom house. Then suddenly, you're dissatisfied with your two-bedroom house. This is too small. We don't fit. Well, honey, it's just you and I. I know, but we want to have four kids, remember? You're not even pregnant, though. I know, but we're going to have four kids. Where are we going to fit them all? Now, you were super happy. You decorated, and it was nice. You said, honey, this is my dream house, until your best friend got the four-bedroom house. And suddenly, you're not happy with what you have. You kind of despise what you have. Let me tell you, that's called envy. Hey, you loved your car that's 5 years old. I drove nice, good gas mileage, took it to the car wash. You liked it. You would tell your mother how good it drove and how happy you were with it until your friend brought a brand new car. Then suddenly you went from liking it to this old piece of junk. I mean, look at it. It doesn't even have a GPS in it. It's got a little scratch and nick there. Feels like it's not driving as new, and it's got a stain on the carpet. I mean, I really don't like this car, honey. When are we going to get it? Well, it's only 5 years old. We got at least another 5, 6, 7, 10 years out of it. I don't like it. Why do we always have to drive junks? Hold on a second. What just happened to you? Let me tell you what happened to you. Envy happened to you. You were happy until you compared yourself with someone else. Doesn't it always go down that way? Doesn't envy always stir up that way? You admire something, you like something, then you want that something. And it could be towards friends. It could be towards, it takes on a lot of forms, but someone starts comparing themselves to someone else. And then you kind of want what they have. And then you start to judge the person that has it and develop a negative attitude towards them because they have it and you don't have it. Then you become resentful. They become the villain and you start attacking them and they wonder, where did all this come from? Envy. Oh, it's a dark, ugly thing that pops its head up. And Naboth was pretty friendly with Ahab and everything was going okay while he admired it. But as soon as he said no, and Ahab started thinking, I deserve that vineyard. I'm the king. I could take a lot better care of that vineyard. It's closer to my palace than it is to his house. He doesn't even deserve it. What kind of respect does he have towards the king? Stage one is admiration and praise. But then there's a moment in where it can turn into envy very quickly. And that leads to stage two. Stage two, we grow angry and resentful when we are unable to possess it. So, verse three, it says, but then Naboth replied, The Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my forefathers. Ahab went home and he did what any mature, strong leader of a country does. He went home and pouted on his bed. So Ahab went home, it says, sullen and angry because Naboth the Jezreelite had said, I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers. He lay on his bed sulking and refused to eat. We all have a little bit of a junior high in us, don't we? I wanted it. I can't have it. I don't know what's wrong. I just can get it. Now you mask it a little bit better. Now you're big. You're 230 pounds. And so it just doesn't, you don't want to whine and cry. What's wrong? Nothing. I made you your favorite. I'm not hungry. The same junior high popping up inside of you. You want something and can't have it. Ahab, the king of Israel, is whining about not getting his way, sulking about not getting his way. He's lying on his bed, not eating. And listen, it says he's sullen and angry because he's not getting what he wants. Now, I can guarantee you that it was during that period of time that his desire for something went ugly. He's saying, I wish I could have had it. It starts there. I'm disappointed that I can't have it. Then it gravitates toward, why shouldn't I be able to have it? Life is unfair. He doesn't deserve it. I work as hard as he works. I deserve it as much as he deserves it. Oh, let me tell you, that is envy spinning its way into your soul. They have it. You know you're envious when you can't celebrate someone else's victory, or someone else's success makes you sad. Come on, be honest. Someone else's promotion at work, you're not, hey, high five, you deserve it, I'm really happy for you. In your mind, you're saying, I work harder than they work. I deserve that raise. How come they got it and I didn't? Are you drinking with the boss out there? Is that how you got it? Because listen, when you can't celebrate with someone, people that are envious, what happens is everybody else's success becomes your failure. So if you're in school, someone else's A makes your C minus feel like a failure. You don't celebrate the fact that they get A's. You look at what they have and you compare yourself to that and you become angry with it. So we don't celebrate with other people. We don't rejoice with other people. What they have, we start competing with, and then we start comparing with. And then, of course, every time you compare, you start getting judgmental about it. Yeah, well, they have it because... If I didn't have to work a part-time job when I was in school, my daddy paid everything, I would do better too. Wonder who cheated on their exam. That's what envy does. Naboth is on the bed sulking, and then enter his wife. Oh yeah, you know her name. You heard it before. Jezebel. That's who Ahab was married to. Yeah, the Jezebel that sent Elijah running for his life. The Jezebel that 400 prophets and army couldn't scare Elijah. But when Jezebel said, I'm going to have your head, he ran. Nothing scarier than a jealous, envious, conniving, manipulative woman. Jezebel was one. She walks in and says, honey, why are you crying? Why are you so mad? I tried to get it. He won't sell it to me. Don't worry, honey. I'll take care of it. Get up, eat, act like a king. I'm going to solve it. And so Jezebel connives of this plan. She says, she connives of this this plan, makes this deal so that she can actually get her husband his way. And it leads me to stage number three. We align ourselves against the person or people that we envy.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Job from New Life Community Church in Chicago. This concludes the first half of Pastor Mark's message called Erasing Envy, which is from our current series, Emotional Intelligence. Tune in again to Straight Talk for the second half of this message. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.